Welcome to our podcast, Geeks Are Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And I'm your host, Bill. This week, we also have Ted.
Hi, Bill.
And Anna.
Hi.
And Joe.
Hello.
And Jordan.
Sup.
And KP, the hi. Salt Lake City Green Arrow.
Oh, hi. Hi. I didn't wait for my full introduction. That was rude.
So where can they find you?
You can find me, I have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Facebook, just search, SLC Green Arrow. Instagram is SLC Green Arrow as well. And then because I didn't want to waste your valuable, characters, it's just at SLCGA on Twitter.
There we go.
Fancy.
Yeah. I know. I'm thinking of you.
Yeah.
it's less about me and more of you and your precious characters. Although Twitter's kind of fixed that. So it's nice. You don't have like such a limited number anymore.
120 limit.
Yeah.
Now you can, what, 140?
All I know is it's more, and then there's like, it's like, you're good. All right, let's make this circle yellow to let you know. All right, you got like 10 characters. Knock it off. Like, you don't have that much to say.
Really, just take a picture, put a bunch of text in it, and then post that.
Yeah, pretty much. Just you don't need to write your life story in there. This is Twitter. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, you can. You just got to spread it out against 365 different tweets.
Just replying to yourself. Reply to self.
Exactly.
There was a Cartoon Network tweeted, like, this is what's going to happen on Steven Universe. The very detailed list of what's going to happen. And it was like one of 4,562. and then the very next tweet was, sorry, one of the characters from Steven Universe got a hold of the Twitter account, so we've retrieved it. And people are like, no, give it back. We want to know.
These are the better ones. I think they also did something similar with Morty and...
Rick and Morty?
That one too, yeah.
Wow.
I'm keeping my portal gun. I don't care what you say. It's upstairs still.
It is pretty fancy.
Okay, so we brought KP back from a recording that never aired from Snake River Comic Con, which has been renamed to Fandom Con. We'll get to that later because it was a terrible recording. So now I get to ask you all those questions again, and we'll have more people this time.
All right, I'm looking forward to it because one thing I hate is hearing myself talk.
Ah, yes. It's always fun editing, too.
Well, now that you've said it, I kind of... You know what? Never mind. I got in trouble last time I insulted a guest.
No. So, what made you want to start doing Green Arrow?
I don't know. So for a while there, I was kind of a heavier dude, and I didn't necessarily like feel comfortable like strapping like spandex or anything like that. But like I grew up in San Diego, and so I'd go to San Diego Comic Con. And I like worked the booths a couple times there for a comic shop I was working for. And so when I did that, I was Quail Man from Doug. I don't know if you guys remember Quail Man from Doug, but It was always like a lot of fun. And like you'd hop into character and just have a blast doing it. And like I was always like big in high school, even though I played sports and stuff like that. You know, I was like, all right, like, you know, I just don't feel comfortable going the whole spandex route. So I'll just strap on a sweater vest, some cargo shorts and the underwear on the outside and we'll be good. And so like at one point I got to like be over 400 pounds and I was like, oh, I don't like where my life's going here. Let's try to fix this. And so, I worked really hard, got into really good shape. And then eventually I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll feel like doing the whole spandex thing now. Like I'd feel more comfortable doing that. And so Green Arrow has always kind of been like one of my favorites. I don't really know exactly why, but like, he was always a really cool character. I loved the way he looked. I loved the whole attitude behind him. And I think the thing that really like sold it for me was the character in Justice League Unlimited, the way that they portrayed him. It was just, I really, really loved like how he was done in that show. And so through that, I started like reading more books about him and reading more stories. And I was like, I'm digging this character. You know, I like the facial hair too. And so, when I got to a point that I felt comfortable in my own body, I was like, you know what, let's go ahead and let's do this. But you know, if we're going to do it, like, we'll do it right. My wife is a costumer. So she was like, okay, let's do this. And she like started like helping me design what we wanted to do. And like, she'd like knock out like three tops and be like, these are all crap, and like throw them away. And I'm like, I'd wear those. She goes, no, you're not putting that on. I'm like, oh, okay. And so eventually in September of 2016, Salt Lake Comic Convention. I don't want to get in trouble here. It was then. SLCC at the time. I went out and, you know, my buddy who I'd grown up with, and he's like a brother to me, but he flew up from LA and he came as Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, and as Clark Kent and Superman. And we did this thing together, and it was like the most amazing experience I had ever like been a part of. Like, it was just so cool getting to portray this character that I had loved for so long and to actually like get to kind of be a physical representation of him at this convention. It was really, really awesome.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
So having dressed as the Green Arrow, in your opinion, do you think that he is optimally dressed for combat? Like, you experienced it? Do you feel like that's the apparel you'd wear if you're going to take on an army?
I think that as long as you have the crotchular movement that you need to do high kicks, yes. Sometimes the pants are a little too tight and it's restricting. as long as we're in like temperatures that are above 50, I think we're okay too. I've learned moving from Southern California to Utah that sleeves sometimes are a good thing. And when I first had my costume, like I would go, like we did an event on like Christmas Eve and we went to go visit some like an assisted living facility, and I didn't have sleeves, and it was a terrible, terrible, terrible experience from the I'm freezing my arrows off here out with these, you know, trying to be like this like really cool guy for these people, and then they loved it, they ate it up, but I'm sitting there like yeah, and then as soon as they turn their backs, I'd be like, oh, I'm dying here. So as long as it's above 50 and as long as you got the high kick wardrobe in the pants, you're fine.
Yeah, I wondered about the chafing issues, so it's good to hear that.
Talc powder is a must.
There you go. When you start, you know, dressing up.
Has there been an episode that addressed that issue where Green Arrow, he's fighting, but then he's like, but it rubs so raw, and then he has to visit the doctor. And
no, but I do want to do a short video where it's like all like the superheroes are hanging out like at the Justice League watchtower in space or something. They're just hanging out, and then all of a sudden like the alarm goes off and they're like, all right, let's kick it into action. And Superman's the only person that just like takes off, but then it cuts back to everybody else, like, and they're like trying to get ready. And like Green Arrow's running, like, where's the spirit gum? Give me the friggin' spirit gum. And then Hal Jordan's like, I can't find my ring. And they're like freaking out. You know, Wonder Woman's like, somebody zip me up in the back. I can't do this. And then like Superman comes back. He's like, I got this, guys. And they're like, good. And like one mask's like kind of half hanging off, because that's kind of what it's like trying to get ready for these conventions. You sit there and you're like, this takes a lot longer than what they make it to look like in the show.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Well, the alternative to that is just to hang out in your costume all the time and hope that you made a good choice that morning.
There you go, exactly.
Like, is there really going to be crime today? I think today feels like a low crime day. I'll just hope for the best.
You know what, guys? You got this. I'm all out of my spirit gum. I'm good. I don't want to deal with this, and I don't have time to make it to the shop. So somebody will get this. Somebody will cover that monster. We're fine.
Especially the eyeliner too. You got to deal with that.
Yeah, you know, if you're in a rush, you poke yourself in the eye, you show up with like red eye in one eye, and they're like, oh, you got pink eye, get out of here. No fighting crime for you.
That might work out to your advantage.
Yeah, I know. Just rub your eyes and then go stick it in the bad guy's eye. Ah, this is going to suck in a couple days for you.
Yeah. Well, you start running. I don't want pink eye.
Yeah.
I don't have insurance right now.
Give up. Take me in. Just don't let him touch me.
Don't let him touch me. Have you seen my premiums? Ah. My copay's off the roof. Ah.
I don't have telemed. Or that cost $50. So let's see what else we got. What is your favorite Green Lantern story?
Well, so,
or not Green Lantern, Green Arrow. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I was looking at your brothers. Like, yeah. We'll go Green Arrow story.
So I think probably my favorite's got to be Kevin Smith's Quiver, just because it brought him back from being dead. But I mean, I also really, really love like Longbow Hunter's Moon. I like going back and reading some of the old like Green Lantern, Green Arrow like stories, because you had a while like where they were like the Justice Crusaders and like, ah, we got to like help people and small in America and discover things. And then they kind of go a little bit where they're still doing that, but they're also doing a little bit more comic booky type things. So like, I just read one where it was like Green Arrow and Black Canary are in a plane. And there's this like weird space monster that pops out of a box. And like, if it touches things, it like absorbs it and gets bigger. And it was just a fun, like little one shot, you know, off story, but like those are really good. And then of course for me right now, DC Rebirth has been really, really fun to read. It feels like everything that they tried to do with New 52, but failed miserably. And then they're like, all right, so let's go ahead and we're going to keep on the New 52 like universe. We're still doing this, but we're going to try to make it feel a little more like classic DC. And so I'm really enjoying it. It's like new, fresh stories, but with an old familiar feel.
Cool. So I'm curious how do you have side jobs or is this what you do all the time? And
oh, no. So yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how does one make money as a cosplayer if not?
I don't know. If you know how to make money as a cosplayer, tell me, because like it's not. This is a side fun for me. I love doing it. The whole cosplay stuff helps keep me motivated and hungry to continue with like my weight loss and my fitness journey that I'm on. My wife and I own a small business. We own a makeup and costuming business, and so that's where we make money. And then for me, like, this is just something fun, but technically, like when we go out and we go to conventions, like we have business cards and people are like, oh, who did your stuff? Oh, we did. Here you go. So it's networking and like, we'll write it off. So it's like the world's greatest vacation. I don't know, but it's a lot of fun. And, cosplay for guys and cosplay for girls, I think are two different, there are two different approaches for it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of overlap, but at the same time, I think that, you know, being a male cosplayer, at least from what I've experienced, is completely different than, being a female cosplayer in certain aspects. I mean, one of my best friends is Joni Brosis, and Joni is, quite popular. She's a big name in the cosplay community. But she and I actually shared, like, we were right next to each other during, Salt Lake Comic Con this last year, and we had booths, and Joni, you know, just put out her photos and all the guys I've worked with Joni before where like I've sat at her booth and like kind of been a large male presence so that guys weren't 100% creepy. They only like cranked it up to like 8 instead of 11. But like Joni just sat there and she just talked and sold her prints and did all these things. I had like built this elaborate like booth where it looked like a rooftop scene, and like I'd done all these things to make it fun and tried to do a photo op, and two things happened. One, I'm a guy, so not like the other guys for the most part weren't really like, I have a small following up here, so people would stop by and say hi and like support it, but for the most part guys just walked on by or went straight to the other, you know, girls that had cosplay tables, or like I had parents straight up, because money is evidently so sparse in Utah. I had parents straight up like grab their kids and be like, don't go over there. I'm not paying you to take a picture with him. And it was like, this is a free photo. Like, let your kid have fun. And they're like, oh, if it's free, I guess you can go. But they gave me like the dirtiest looks. And so like I had prints there to sell and I had some t-shirts and people ate, you know, the fans, which is like really, I don't know. I don't like seeing fans. It sounds weird. But the supporters who did come, you know, specifically to see me or whatever, they did support and buy and things like that. But like if people tipped me, I had like little, just because I don't know, I don't feel like, yeah, I'm there as an experience for you as well. But like if people tip me, I had little 4x6 prints of like 3 of my favorite photos. And so if they tipped $1 or they tipped a quarter or whatever, because they only cost me like 7 cents to make, I'd give them one of those like, hey, thank you so much. Like tips are never expected, but they're always appreciated. Thank you. Here you go. And they're like, wow, really? And I'm like, yeah, like I don't expect you to tip me. I'm just here to have fun too. But I didn't even make my booth back at Salt Lake. And I talked to a bunch of people there on Saturday. And they all said that Saturday was the worst day out of all of them. Like nobody wanted to spend money. Everybody wanted to look and tell you how great everything was. But then as soon as like, you were like, yeah, so if you're interested, you know, like I had a bunch of friends in Artist Alley. You're interested in this print? No, that's okay. And then they would like walk away. And then the same thing, like there was a whole bunch of kids there on Saturday. Like, hey guys, do you guys want to come take a picture? And I had parents that would like grab their kids by the shoulders and turn them and be like, no. And it's like, oh, okay, well, by then, you know, like, so it was just, it was definitely an interesting scenario. If I would like to take the kind of booth idea to a different convention and see if maybe it's just because I'm a male cosplayer or because Salt Lake is the way that it is, which I understand. You've got large families. If you spend, you know, $5 on one kid, you have to spend $5 on all of them. And so it can add up really, really fast. But it was just kind of an interesting learning experience. And, you know, like, because my booth essentially looked like a rooftop scene that you come take a picture with, and it was essentially like a photo op, I'm going to make it where this is going to look like a billboard on the very top. It's going to be like, free picture, come take a free picture or something. So it still like blends in with the photo when you take it. But then people also see like free, because I had a stand that specifically stated, you know, hey, prints, which cosplayers do, these are the prices. But as soon as they saw a money sign, they it turned them off immediately. They just, you know, took off the other way. So I actually had to cover that up so that people didn't see a money sign. All they saw was there was something that said free photo.
I have to ask, because it's a hot topic of our time, but have you ever felt objectified while cosplaying?
Oh yeah. Like that is 100. I had a conversation with a guy about this yesterday. Like, I'll tell you what, the single moms between the ages of 35 and 45 are probably my biggest fans and have probably been like the most inappropriate, like with stuff. I had some mom that was like, oh my gosh, it's Green Arrow, I love your stuff, here kids, take a picture. And then I was like, all right guys, you know, let's see superhero poses and stuff. But, and I feel like, let's be honest, as a male cosplayer, you either have to be really good at what you do, or you have to be really engaging, or just make it like an awesome experience for the kids. So like, I'll kneel down and get on their level and be like, hey, what's your name? What's your favorite part of the con? What do you do? And the parents really seem to appreciate that. But sometimes, like, I've had moms come up and like, oh, that's so great, thanks so much, mommy's turn to take a picture. And they'll like grab onto my waist and pull me in and be like, I'm single. And I'm like, oh, I'm not, I'm married. And they're like, oh. You know, I've had like butt grazes constantly. Like there was when, if you guys go onto my Instagram, you'll see Will all the time. And, you know, he does Superman and he does Hal Jordan. And it doesn't matter what he does, like dance belts don't work for him for some reason. Like they always just seem to like Shazam his like crotchular area. And so, but we've had moms that come up and they grab us like by the butt cheeks and like pull us in. And it's like the conversation I had yesterday was, if I were to throw a fit about that, like people would then question it. Like, oh, what? You don't like girls groping your body? It's like, well, no, it's just like, I'm married. It's not appropriate. But like the double standard is if somebody would do that, man, they'd be out of a convention if they did it to like a female cosplayer. And so it happens a lot. And I think it's starting to get to the point where people are accepting it. But for the most part, guys are kind of expected just to roll with it. And not from like other cosplayers because they get it, but just from like a society standpoint of like, oh, what's the matter with you? You don't like this? It's like, well, no, I don't. And I don't think that if my wife's there, she should have to see this and be okay with it too. So it's one of those things where it is kind of a hot topic, you know, item. And it does happen quite a bit to male cosplayers. I just don't think it gets put into the spotlight the same way that it does if something like that were to happen to female cosplayers.
That's kind of interesting. I actually just read a story about Terry Crews getting groped by I can't remember. It was like an agent or something like that. Mm-hmm. And people were like, well, why didn't you just hit him or stuff like that? And he's like, well, you know, if I did that, then I'm the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I think it is really interesting that, and kind of horrible that we have this double standard that it's okay either way.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it is interesting. But it's even like to the point where, the guy I was having this discussion with, they were talking about like they were watching like a Hallmark Christmas movie. And in the Hallmark Christmas movie, you've always got like the really handsome guy that is like the main male lead or whatever. And he gets into like an elevator with an elderly woman. And she's like, oh, you're so attractive. And she like, you know, rubs up on him and then like tries to give him this kiss and stuff like that. And he's like, if the roles were reversed, we'd be all up in arms about this movie. But when we see it this way, it's like, ha, 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 that's so funny. And it's like, it is kind of that like that double standard. And I think that it's starting to get, especially within the cosplay community, like other cosplayers, they get it and they will support it. And like if some good mom had done this or some lady or some even like a male fan had done this, like, and Joni were sitting there next to me, she'd be like, hey, hands off. I don't think so. Like there we're really fast to really like support, encourage and protect each other. Cause you've even got sometimes the problem is not just males doing it to female cosplayers or female doing it to male cosplayers. Sometimes it's females coming up to female cosplayers. And because we're both girls and we both have the same anatomy parts, I can go ahead and touch yours however I want. And that's a big problem too. And it's super uncomfortable for them as well. And sometimes they're like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, you know, it's nice to have a support around you just saying, hey, you know what? That's not appropriate behavior. If they weren't in costume, would you just walk up to some random person and start groping on them? No. So it's exactly the same thing. Don't do that. It's not appropriate. And it's nice that we're starting to stand up for each other as a community and really watch out for one another too.
How does Salt Lake FanCom?
Comic Convention. So they're still SLCC.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're throwing FanX in front of it. So it's FanX trademark because they've done that now. Salt Lake Comic Convention.
So
they're mixing it all up.
Yeah.
How do they handle this issue when it's brought to their attention? Or is it brought to their attention often?
I'm not sure. The only thing I've ever, they straight up will tell people like if there's any inappropriate stuff, you'll get bounced. I don't know the specifics of it, so I can't comment to that. I do know that there was a member of the cosplay community who was, and I'm not saying rightly or wrongly, accused of harassing two female cosplayers, and without question, he was bounced. And like I said, I don't know the specifics, but then there was a backlash from him and some of his friends where it was like, he didn't do anything wrong. These people said this without, you know, because they don't like him. And so you like right or wrong, I don't know exactly what happened. I do know that that two female cosplayers brought up inappropriate behavior on a male cosplayer and he was gone within minutes. Like no questions asked, he was out. So as far as my understanding goes, they take it very seriously. And that's why as a protection for myself too, I don't like being by myself at conventions. I will always be with somebody else just because you never know. So, I mean, as far as my understanding, most of the conventions, if not all of them, take it very, very seriously. And it's one of those things where, you know, as a male cosplayer, like I always keep my arms up. Like if I'm going to take a picture with somebody, my arm is always visible. Like it's on a shoulder or something like that, because I don't want somebody accusing me of something, whether it's intentional, which it wouldn't be, or an incidental, you know, graze. Cause sometimes I've actually had moms that like, they'll go to put their arm around me, but my quiver is sitting on my back. And so they'll like try to avoid the quiver, but then they wind up touching my butt and they're like, oh, and I'm like, it's okay. Like it happens. No big deal. You know? And so like, there's something like that. There are accidents that do happen, but you know, it's, as far as my understanding, most of the cons, like if you get accused of something like that, man, you are gone.
Do you think this has influenced in any way the direction, the nature of interaction between professional cosplayers and their fans?
I think it depends on the fans. I mean, I know that there are certain people that I recognize right off the bat. And like on my Instagram posts or Facebook posts, there are constantly people that I know who they are. It's like, oh, this is the, and like, I've never met them, but like there's one guy that his name's Ben. He's a high school kid. And I mean, he was there from the very beginning. He met me at Salt Lake in 16 when I first started off. He was like, oh my gosh, I love Green Arrow and you have the hat and stuff like that. So while while there's still a sense of being on guard, my interactions with Ben are a lot more kind of casual than they are with other people because I kind of like know Ben. If it's somebody I'm meeting for the first time or especially with like little kids and stuff like that, it's a very professional aspect. And even like with some of the female cosplayers, like I know Joni treats her fans all very well, but there are certain ones that she knows at a different level than others because either they've been with her from the beginning or she's, you know, interacted with them in a different way than just them coming up and buying a print. So, but I think for the most part though, cosplayers are a little more on guard than they might've been in the past. And a little bit more like just, I don't know if it's like hesitance, the right word, but just making sure that like, they don't step on any toes or they don't put themselves in a compromising position. Cause I feel like that's something where, you know, something could spin out of control really fast. So like I said, I like always having someone with me because I never want to put myself into a position where it's a he said versus they said. And I just don't want that. Like, so it is kind of it's a little bit more cautious and guarded than it was in the past.
Yeah. That is pretty interesting.
So the other thing also where you work so hard to lose so much weight, I've seen you interact with some of your fans where they, you've motivated them and, they felt really proud that they could do all this. What would be your favorite story with that?
I've only been doing this for what, like a year and a half or something like that. I don't know, like September of 2016. And so, but having lost a bunch of weight and having motivated and do these things like that, this cosplay is a huge motivation as to why I'm still doing what I'm still doing, why, I'm still pushing myself daily and really wanted to make, it's not the main reason, but it is a big part of it. And so at Salt Lake Comic Con this year, when I had my booth, I had people come up to me and I had one lady actually come up and she's like, "Oh my gosh, it's you. It's you." And I'm like, "It's me." And she's like, no. Like I recognize you from they have a Comic Con challenge page where it's like, "Hey guys, let's use this page to motivate each other and support each other because we all need to be like the same size or the same physique, but because we should be living a healthier life than maybe we are. And, so I'll post stuff on there like, "Hey guys, this is what's going on." Motivating Transformation Tuesday type stuff, Motivation Monday, whatever the case may be. And she goes, "I've recognized you from the post." She goes, "Your story." And then she started crying. She goes, "Your story made me realize that if other people were in the same situation that I'm in, I can do it too. Like, I know I can do it because I've seen other people do it." And she's like sitting there like bawling, like talking about how I've motivated her to stop, drinking soda. And, for me, when I quit soda, I couldn't just quit cold turkey. Like I was drinking those bad boys like they were water. And so I limited myself to a can of soda a day for like 2 weeks. And then after that, I got a can of soda 6 days out of the 7 days of the week. And then 5, 4, until eventually I couldn't drink soda anymore. It was just too sweet. And so, she's like, I've been doing the same thing. And she goes, "I haven't had soda in like 2 months because of how you suggested I stop." And I was like, well, thank you. And it's really sweet hearing that. I posted a picture yesterday, Monday I wanted to try to engage my followers. And I'm very big on that with my social media. Like, "Hey guys, let's talk." Like, if I ask you a question, I really want an answer. It's not going to be like "I like Doritos. What is your favorite chip?" Chip. And then, now you're just waiting for the comments. It's, "Hey guys, I have a question. I want to know a legitimate answer." And so it was like, I want to be very personal through my social media and cosplay. What would you like to know about me? And I had a whole bunch of people ask questions. And I had one guy ask, "Are you satisfied with your weight loss? And, if not, or if so, can you expand upon that?" And I said, I want to give you an honest answer. So I can recognize and I can see where I've been and then the progress I've made, but I am not anywhere near satisfied with this. Okay. It's a very, very long journey. And I know that I have made a tremendous amount of progress. However, there's still a lot of work to do. I was over 400 pounds. So now being at about like 240, there's a lot of excess skin and I'm trying my best to fill it out and do these things to kind of bulk some things out. But, I do get discouraged when I'll see people that and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I'll get a little discouraged when I see people that are like, "I've been working out for 2 months and look at my arms," and they look all cut and defined. Well, they also don't have like 25 years of poor food choices and lifestyle choices sitting on top of that, and I'll have to look at certain things that are like non-scale victories. Towards like September of last year, I measured my biceps because I feel like measurements are a really good way to do things, not necessarily like a scale for me. And my biceps were about 14 inches around. And I just measured them like a week ago and they were over 16 inches around. So mm-hmm. My biceps are getting bigger. Yeah. It's, I got to look for victories like that. And so, I shared this with people, in a before and after type photo. Like it was a kind of a profile shot where you could see like how far out my belly stuck compared to now. And my arms, I sent it to Will, who is one of my biggest motivators and one of my biggest supporters. And, he encourages me and helps me along. And he goes, "Dang, dude," he goes, "look at your arms. They're almost the same size, except now one's muscle and the other one wasn't." And I look at it and I go, "Dang, my arms do look really big." So I have to look for victories like that. But after posting this and being honest with people, because Monday I asked them, they responded. And then Tuesday I made the Transformation Tuesday, "I want to be honest with you" post. Sometimes I do get discouraged. Sometimes it is tough having all this excess skin, but I know that I can rise above this. And, having my followers and my supporters encourage me along the way. And it's kind of it's weight that I've placed on my shoulders because I've had people say these things, "You encourage me." well, I can't let them down now. So now I'm like doing this for myself. I'm doing it for my wife. I'm doing it for my family. I'm also doing it for all these people that are watching me. And so I was like, thank you guys very much. I always make sure to thank them for that constant support. I had a bunch of people then respond today or the day after going, dude, I wasn't going to go to the gym today, but I saw your post and man, I got hungry to go to the gym. You really drove me to do this. And so for me, that's another one of those things where it's like, I do this because I want my social media to be fun and engaging, and I want it to be a positive experience because there's plenty of negative out there right now. So when I hear that people are responding, like, this is such a positive influence in my life, it makes me really, really happy and fulfilled inside where it's like, you know what? Good. I want to be a force of positivity out there because, like I said, there's a lot of negative happening right now. So if I can be something where someone logs on their social media, sees it and feels better about themselves or their day or gets a laugh out of my stupid comments that I post, then I've done my job, I feel.
It's a pretty rocky road, so I respect that. I was intensely exercising for a while. I set a goal for myself that I'd be satisfied as soon as I could, with my bare hands, crush a man's skull in. But
I'm going for the, if I can like flex my arms and chest and crack a walnut open, then I'll be able to quit. And I am way, 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 way like so far from that. I can't even do like ballpark peanuts yet. So I get that.
Steps. Baby steps.
So what recommendations would you have? Like, you gave someone out the soda. Is there any other recommendations you have for somebody?
I had a real quick takeaway from that. I just want to make sure I understand you correctly. Am I to understand that soda is not the same thing as water?
No. You want to at least do eight ounce glasses of water. I mistook that as soda. And so that might have been why I was over 400 pounds.
2 liters of soda.
Yeah. My doctor was like, oh, you're doing this all wrong. And then they like ripped the soda IV out of my arm and I felt really stupid.
Yeah, well, there. I see lots of people eyes. With that. I've seen someone who pretty much has the Pawnee 512 ounce soda, and yeah, they essentially drink that much per day, and when they're confronted with the health issues, they don't do anything because they're addicted to it.
Have you considered that it might be their retirement plan?
early retirement plan.
Retirement.
You don't have to save for retirement if you don't live long enough to retire.
Yeah. I retire at 30 and I'm in the grave by 35. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is really hard to get out of there because it's like the card game, which is not butthole, but something else. Like when the deck...
President when, and yeah, buttholes.
Yeah, that's right. When the deck is stacked against you and you have to work your way out of that, it's way harder than... If you start from a clean, well,
tabula rasa.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's my general like musing.
Blake Slay. I know that because it's the name of an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
And I looked it up because that's what I do. I look stuff up.
Back before you had to Google it.
The internet's been around as long as Buffy.
Is it really?
Yeah. So what were you really asking? I'm asking for comfort or tips and hints on how to.
Well, yeah. Besides like, the soda one,
not be Ted-like.
What are the recommendations?
I feel like a lot of people. Like I had a guy when I was losing this weight, kind of ask me. He's like, "What's your big takeaway?" I was like, "The big takeaway is you just need to. You really need to like." Be physical and get out and exercise. He's like, well, I don't have time for that. It's like, oh, well, okay. I mean, you asked my opinion. There isn't really a magic pill. There isn't really just a snap your finger type thing. Yeah. First and foremost, and I learned this the hard way, having struggled with my weight for the majority of my life, you have to want it yourself. Okay. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can want it for you. Nobody else can make these changes for you. You have to want it for yourself. I don't like... Getting up, finding something that you absolutely love to do that doesn't necessarily feel like a tedious workout, I think is key too. For me, when I was about 360 pounds, I decided that, you know, like I had gone through a really bad breakup and like growing up in San Diego, you know, you liked, you know, the San Diego Chargers and sports, things like that. But that was all a part of our relationship. So when we broke up, I was like, I need something new because I can't I can't do this. Like, I can't do watch the things that we used to watch or participate in the things that we used to participate in right now. It's just, it's too fresh. And so I had this crazy, amazing uncle from Kentucky that loved hockey, and he would take me to games, and we'd sit behind the penalty box. And if he didn't get a player thrown out of the game, he didn't have a good time. So, I mean, he'd sit there and just, you know, oh, you Bush League, you'll never make it. You hack. And like, and I remember just going, oh, this guy's crazy. This is fun. So I started watching hockey, and then I was like, you know what? Maybe I can learn how to skate. And I remember coming to my parents saying like, hey, I want to do this. So, you know, for any kind of like birthday or Christmas or anything like that, I'd like stuff towards hockey. And they're like, really? And I was like, yeah. And so I went, and because I was bigger, I had to buy like a really kind of top end pair of skates to hold and support my weight, because that's a lot of pressure on your ankles and knees when you're that heavy. But I started skating like 3 days a week. Then I started skating four. Then I started playing hockey and skating, you know, like 3 to 4 times a week, and the weight started to come off. But for me, it didn't feel like exercise. Like, I could tell I was working out and I was feeling great about myself, but it didn't feel like that tedious, I'm going to go run on a treadmill for like 2 hours and hate everything. So, you know, I think that finding something that you enjoy doing that is kind of out and physical, whether it's hiking or biking or skating or whatever the case may be, or even like for a while there when I was really, really heavy, is I would bust out my Nintendo Wii like step up pad, and I would just like watch an hour of TV while stepping up on that and stepping down and stepping up on that and stepping down, because I started having knee and ankle issues because of my weight. And then I would be sidelined for like a month to like 6 months, depending on how bad it was. And I'd get super depressed. So I'd start eating, and then I'd put more weight back on. And then I'd be able to do things again. I'd lose a little weight, but then something else would come up and I'd, you know, hurt myself or whatever. And then I'd get depressed. So I'd eat and put more weight back on. So I think finding something, whether you're distracting yourself by listening to music or watching, you know, I mean, let's be honest, we can watch anything pretty much we want from our phones now. Doing that while you're on your spin cycle or your elliptical or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, finding a friend and going walking around your neighborhood, that's key. But find something that doesn't feel like a tedious workout. I go to the gym 6 days a week now. And for me, going and seeing this progress and challenging myself each day at the gym is a huge part of it. So now I'm in a competition with myself to be better than I was the day before. And so that's something key. I mean, just for me, it was all about little things. I'm not a cold turkey kind of guy. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go, you know what, I'm not going to have soda anymore, and then just be done. I couldn't. So do small little things, you know. If I'm going to go out and have a hamburger, maybe I take that top bun off because it's a super thick piece of bread. I cut the burger in two, and then now I have a double, quote unquote, with the bottom bun or something like that. Right. But just little things, replacing the bun altogether with extra lettuce, but making sure you're using like actual good lettuce, not iceberg, because there's not a lot to it, but like a nice, hearty, rich green lettuce of some kind. But just little things. There's little things that you can do that once you combine all these small things, they equal one big thing. And as you start to progress and see these changes and add upon them and build upon it, it can kind of snowball into something really great.
So what you're saying is Jordan should start with sparrow skulls.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
You don't want to go human quite yet. Start sparrow, then squirrel.
Well, I am.
And I can't think of anything in between though that wouldn't make people angry between there. So.
I want ant skulls. That's yeah. I'm capable of ant skulls. Okay. I have a guilty conscience. I can't do that. So
just think about how horrible that ant is in the hive, though. He's the one that goes around slapping all the other ants and is a total just Scott. Like, you don't want. He's fine.
There are a lot of ants out there. This is true. Like, they kind of deserve it. But
right?
I still, like, it's hard to say which one is the
vicious one.
Which one is Scotch?
Yeah. So I have,
just pretend.
Yeah. I have a question for you that is pretty important, and I'm sure everyone wants to know. And you honest.
I want to know.
I do too, because I'm asking it. Okay, so how many mornings a week do you flex in front of a mirror?
Ooh. See, I'm not a morning flexor. Now, if you ask mid-afternoon, probably a baker's dozen. I'm just sitting there and I'm going, yeah, these triceps. Yeah. Ooh, looks like I got kicked in the arm by a horse. Yeah.
It's hard to resist, isn't it?
It is. In all honesty, there are times, you know, like where I'm getting ready and I do see myself and I'm like, it is kind of exciting because for the first time in my life, I actually see something that has never been there or has always been hidden.
You mean your feet?
And so Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I have toes. Oh my goodness.
I have that same problem.
But there is a part, and you know, I think for someone who maybe has been heavy, you know, their entire life, and then to all of a sudden see progress and see like, wow, my arms do look good. Like, I'm not going to lie there. I mean, you know, my wife will sit there like, and like I walk by it. If I have a shirt on that has like tighter sleeves, she'll go flex. And I'm like, what? She goes, just flex. I need to see this. And I'm like, oh, but it's kind of nice. Cause for the first time in my life, I can actually do that. And it actually like, there's something there. Whereas, you know, before the sleeves were just tight because my arms were ginormous hammocks, you know, like that's, it's not a mean thing to say. It's the truth. I look at like the post that I just put on Tuesday, my arms were ginormous, but I was a very large man because of it. And now my arms are, you know, defined and, you know, to a point, and I do see this progress and it is exciting. So I don't know, like, I feel like if it's something that kind of motivates you to keep going too, by all means, go for it. I don't care how douchey it kind of like looks. Just do it. If it makes you feel good about yourself because you haven't seen it before, by all means, I think it's quite okay. Maybe not taking up room at the gym and doing it, and taking selfies. Like I saw a guy the other day. I think I'm going to call him Newfies. Where it's the new year. It's the new year resolution people that come into the gym for like 5 minutes and then they're gone. But this guy came in the other day. He took off his jacket. He stood in front of the mirror. He flexed, took a picture, put the jacket back on, and then left. I joke you not. Oh, my God. I don't think that's how the gym works. I mean, I could be wrong, but
it's not even the people who are trying to do.
Yeah, you know, like –
like I took my picture for the day.
Yeah, well, here's proof. Here's proof I did it.
It kind of goes back to the classic physics question. If there is a person in a room who flexes and there's no one around to see it, is it douchey? That's
or does it count?
Well, if you take a picture, then
if you go to the gym and don't take a selfie, did you actually go to the gym?
Yeah.
That's
so. As your weight has diminished, have you noticed your legs like losing strength? I mean, I'm sure you work them out, but it's quite the workout, you know, just carrying around your heft.
So the one part of my body that I always felt like kind of proud of, even when I was heavy, was my calves. And because, I mean, you're carrying around 400 pounds, your calves actually look pretty good. And I had somebody, you know, I was at the gym and I was working out, and this guy goes, dude, what kind of calf workout do you do? And it's like, it's called being over 400 pounds for like 10 years. Like, I don't know, like that's really it. But no, actually my legs feel better than they ever have, just because there's not the pressure on the knees and the ankles. So while I may not necessarily be like, you know, like, I mean, maybe the strength and muscle has gone down. My legs and my back feel way better than they ever did because I don't have that constant strain or pressure on them.
So, and now I wanted to ask, moving away from the weight and all that, but I see a lot of pictures of you posing with a bow, and I'm wondering how good you really are with that. What kind of a shot you got with that?
I'm a fair to decent shot. I mean, you can't throw an apple in the air and I'm going to hit it. Like, but I mean, my dad grew up in Kentucky. He hunted his entire life, whether it's with a rifle or with a bow. And so he actually went and, before we moved away from Southern California, he taught at an inner city school. And for a while there, they actually had air rifles as part of the junior ROTC program that they could compete with. But then the San Diego School District decided to take it away because they didn't want to teach kids how to do drive-by shootings, which we always thought was – I mean, if you're going to do a drive-by, clearly you're going to do it with an air rifle from the ROTC program. But the guy that ran the program with him was like, well, if we can't do air rifles, we can actually teach archery. And so my dad taught that. So my dad took this inner city school in California all the way from like a local to the state championship, all the way to nationals, where they actually wound up getting beat by like three schools from Kentucky that like were like out in like the back sticks of nowhere. So these kids have probably been shooting all their lives. So my dad's a very, very good archery teacher, and he's kind of taught me things. And I, you know, so like I said, I can shoot a bow really well. You know, I'm a decent shot, like, but not like a, hey, throw this apple up and let me go ahead and adjustice to it. Like, you know, it's like a bite, throw it up, you know, but I mean, I can shoot fairly well. I think that for me, part of the illusion of cosplay is I wanted to look like I knew what I was doing. Sometimes you see people pulling the bow back and like their elbow is like on the backside of their head. And you're like, okay, well, I don't think that's proper form. I could be wrong. But so I had my dad kind of coach me, you know, like, all right, like And given, like, there's certain posing and action stuff where it is, you know, different. But I'm like, if I'm just drawing this bow back, I want it to look like it's supposed to look. And so I had my dad kind of help coach me on some of those things and then, you know, help me with shooting and things. So I didn't look like a complete moron. But yeah, I mean, if you, you know, I can hit the target and I can hit where I'm supposed to be aiming. And, but, you know, like I said, I'm not like some master trick shot or anything like that.
So have you noticed that putting it right up against your nose really helps your aim?
I did. I had to take out my nose ring though, because the string kept on coming across and snagging it, and, you know, but no, you know, it's, and I think part of the fun is that you can sit there and you can, you know, pose in a certain way so that it's a little more camera friendly as well. But yeah, I mean, there's that, you got to like tuck the hand right into your cheek as you're like aiming down the, you know, the bow, but it's fun.
So I also see you have the boxing glove arrow.
Yes, the infamous boxing glove arrow. I hate that thing, but everybody loves it, so I have to keep taking it to conventions.
Yeah, I have two questions with it. One, yeah. Have you shot it? And if so, two, did you hit what you were aiming at?
I have shot it, and it's terrible. I think I'm actually going to do a video so people can see, but it's atrocious. That thing just sinks like a like the freaking Titanic, you know? I mean, it's just, it goes down fast. But yeah, I mean, I'll have to take a video and post it because everybody asks that. That's usually one of the questions I get is, have you fired the boxing glove arrow? And it's like, yeah. Is it really good? No. You know, like, you know, but I've also got, like, because I didn't want it to be super heavy because I'm carrying it around, there isn't really a good way to store that thing. I actually took the boxing glove and I hollowed it out and I put a bunch of cotton balls in there so that it would keep its shape but be super light. And so it just, it's not, it's one of those things where it's just, if it were to have like a weight kind of like in, if you Google it, you can actually see like Ollie's got like this small little like fist shape thing inside the boxing glove arrow that he shoots. So like when it punches, it actually punches, it would hurt. And so maybe that might help, but no, this thing just kind of does whatever it wants and whizzes away and just, yeah, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's not going to do anything to anybody. Nope.
The only question I can think of is, have you ever, while in costume, had the opportunity to dramatically sink to your knees and shout, no? Because I'd be
like, I haven't. I have not, but I have actually gotten to do a couple's portrait with Will as Hal Jordan and being painted by Bob Ross. It was quite amazing, actually. Yeah. Like we did the classic prom photo where like I'm standing behind him and I have my arms awkwardly put around his waist and he has his kind of like on top of mine and there's that goofy smile and then Bob Ross is painting us. It's probably actually one of my favorite photos that we've done.
Did he have his afro?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He straight up did. He even had a small squirrel in his pocket.
Wasn't it this at last year's?
Wait, what?
Salt Lake Comic-Con?
It was at Salt Lake 16. Yeah.
Oh, 16.
Oh, the Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, man, I've been to so many of them. I forgot how many there was and who's all been in each one.
Well, and then when they turn around, they have like FanX in the spring and then SLCC during the fall. You're like, I don't. It was one of those. I know I was at Salt Palace. I don't remember which one, but I was there.
I think I know I saw it. But yeah.
Now you should make a pocket bow and arrow. So when you're at work, you can just sit there and be like, "Pting," and have it fly and bounce off people and be like, "Who was that?" And be like, "It definitely wasn't me."
I'll pull a gremlin and I'll make it out of a paperclip and a rubber band like Gizmo did.
Exactly. Be like, I don't know why everybody thinks it's me, the guy who dresses up like Green Arrow.
That's rude. How dare you assume?
I don't know. Anything else? Is there anything else you want to add? Like, probably come up to the hour, so it's good wrap up time.
No, I mean, you know, it's cosplay has been a lot of fun, and I feel like people put too much pressure on it sometimes too. Like, I've noticed a lot of people coming out and they're like, "Hey, I'm going to go to a convention. Who should I cosplay as? I'm freaking out about this." It's like, don't freak out. Just go have fun. Like, you know, there's so much you can do and so much, like, just if it's a fandom that you enjoy, try to, you know, embody it and just go have fun with it. But don't like put so much pressure on yourself to like do it. I don't know. Right. There is no right. Just go out and have fun. Like that's what all it really is. We're just people dressing up as our favorite heroes and having fun.
All right. Well, then I also forgot to warn you about this, so you get to make it up. I'll let you go last. We also do famous last words when we end the podcast.
All right.
With Jordan, and we'll end with you.
All right.
Sometimes I cosplay as Green Arrow cosplaying as me, and no one's impressed.
It's true. I cosplays as lazy, skinny Bane that had a head of hair. And it was good times. It was the epitome of not caring.
I have yet to actually start a cosplay myself as far as like going to a con. And I really like Harley Quinn, so I might actually do that sometime.
Ooh, good choice.
I like pork.
No, I've got to stick with the cosplay. I've gone, had good luck, had bad luck. I literally had people not know who I was. Yeah. All right, your turn.
All right. Well, a lot of people like to say that maybe I'm Robin Hood instead of Green Arrow, but Green Arrow was actually modeled after, at least the version I am, was modeled after Robin Hood. So I am cosplaying as my favorite hero, who is cosplaying as his favorite hero. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call cosception.